During last week's 2014 Governor's Conference on Tourism, Governor Dennis Dugard announced that tourism numbers continued to increase throughout the state in 2013. Tourism spending also rose by an estimated $30 million compared to 2012. That's a 2.8% increase. According to Governor Dugard, the direct impact on the state's economy is nearly $2 billion. The rise in tourism numbers came despite the spring ice storm in southeastern South Dakota, the October blizzard in the west, and the temporary closure of major attractions during the partial government shutdown. Joining us now to discuss the tourism conference and some of those numbers is Deputy Tourism Secretary and Media and Industry Relations Manager Wanda Goodman. And Ms. Goodman, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be on today.
Now, the tourism conference, that's sort of the major event for the tourism officials and state government in January?
That's correct, yes. So each year we host the Governor's Annual Tourism Conference, and it's held here in Pierre. And, you know, some people kind of ask us, well, why January? It's such a cold time of year and maybe a hard time to travel. But, you know, we find that in January we get a really great crowd from the visitor industry across the state coming in. It's maybe a little bit slower time for them. You know, they're able to come in and we're able to have legislators present as well so we can update the legislature on what we're up to. And this year we had a great turnout again. We had about 600 people pre-register for the conference. About 110 or so of those were first-time attendees, so it's great to see that as well. Great to see the industry getting excited about tourism and about learning some more about what they can do to be successful in their own business.
So it's really an opportunity for the tourism department to work with other people across the state who are working in tourism as well as, like you said, talking with legislators?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we do, we bring in several speakers, and this year we spent a little more on our speakers because we wanted to get some very high-quality speakers that we knew would provide great information to the industry. But one of the best things about our conference every year is that we get to network with our peers across the state. You know, it's a small state, and all of us are good friends in the industry, and so it's great to see old friends, catch up a little bit, but then to also, you know, share some best practices and share the challenges that we may have all had in the past year. And share ideas about the coming year.
Now, the governor mentioned last week that the tourism numbers continued to increase throughout the state, and now I'm assuming that tourism officials were happy with those numbers.
We were, yes. You know, I think the governor relayed in his press conference that 2013 was a bit of a challenging year, all the way from the beginning of the peak travel season right on through the fall season. But despite all of those challenges, our industry persevered and did a great job, and we're extremely happy with the growth that we saw in 2013.
Well, when you talk about those challenges, some of those we mentioned, the weather, the partial government shutdown, there are also low pheasant numbers. Does that suggest that perhaps maybe the tourism numbers could have been better than what they were?
Potentially, yeah. You know, specifically, I'll just call out the October blizzard. Obviously, it was extremely devastating to our ranch families out west, but it also had an extreme impact on the visitor industry. We heard from several group tour companies, bus tours, that had to postpone or cancel trips that they had planned to make in October, and, you know, others that just plain weren't going to come because of the weather that they were seeing or because of the impacts felt by the government shutdown. So, you know, it's speculation, of course, but I do believe that perhaps our numbers could have even been a bit higher had those challenges not occurred.
And, of course, every year there's weather situations. I suppose 2013 just had a few more than usual.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, weather is one of those things that none of us can control, so we just have to brace for those things and make it up wherever else we can.
Do you know where most of the visitors to South Dakota, where they're coming from?
We do, yeah. We invest quite heavily in research so that we're making the best decisions possible and making sure that we're spending our money effectively and efficiently. And because of that, we know that the majority of our visitors are coming from our surrounding states. South Dakota tends to be a drive market, and therefore, you know, it makes sense that most of our visitors are coming from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska. And so consequently, we do a lot of our marketing in those areas as well. But I would say that we are seeing some growth even farther east of us. We're seeing a lot more traffic from Illinois, from Michigan. So it's good for us to keep an eye on those things as well, so that as we are expanding our marketing, you know, we know which markets would be the best for us to expand into.
Maybe moving into Chicago?
Potentially, yes. Secretary Hagan has been talking for the last couple of years now about what he calls our steady march to Chicago. Chicago is the third largest designated market area in the United States, which of course means it's a bit more expensive to place media there. But we know that the population is one that, of course, is very large and one that is interested in travel to South Dakota. So this year in 2014, we'll be adding Milwaukee as our next market that we're going to be placing some advertising in. And then hopefully in the following year or two beyond beyond this summer, we'll be able to make that that march farther into Chicago and place our marketing there. But as I said, it's expensive, and we want to just make sure that once we're there marketing in Chicago, that we have the ability to sustain that presence.
Do tourism numbers at all measure South Dakotans traveling in-state? You know, for example, people from East River going to the Black Hills?
We do, yes. Specifically in the report that we see every year from IHS Global Insight, they count what they call person stays, which is kind of a strange term for it. But that does include anyone, you know, traveling from Sioux Falls going out to Rapid City for a weekend or vice versa. So we do include some of our own citizens in those numbers.
So those South Dakotans are included in the numbers that the governor cited last week?
They are, yes. But it kind of gets a little bit deep if I get into it, but essentially they have to travel a certain number of miles away from their home, and it has to include an overnight stay.
One of the things mentioned last week during the governor's conference on tourism, a big increase in Chinese tourism, and what's led to that growth?
That's correct. You know, and that's a trend that we're seeing not only in South Dakota, but really across the country. The Chinese really they enjoy travel. When they visit the United States or any other country for that matter, they tend to stay longer and spend a lot more money than your average foreign traveler. So, you know, we've seen that the Chinese have been growing in visitation to the U.S. We're also seeing Australia as a market that continues to rise in those trips coming into the U.S. And so, you know, whatever we can do from our office to entice those visitors to make South Dakota a part of their trip, you know, we're going to look at ways to do that. One thing I would mention as well is that you know, we've been doing some marketing internationally for several years now, probably around 20 to 25 years. And what we're seeing is that those foreign visitors who have come to the United States, they've probably done the coasts. They've been to New York, they've been to L.A., and to those outlying areas on either coast, and now they're ready to explore what some people might call the real America. So they want to get out and see what that Midwest culture is like. And so we're seeing an increase and people that are interested in that type of travel as well.
What kind of challenges do international visitors pose to the tourism industry in South Dakota? I imagine, particularly with Chinese tourism, maybe challenges different than Australia, particularly when you're dealing with language. Is this something that the state tourism department and the tourism industry as a whole in the state are addressing?
Sure. You know, that's a great question. Certainly language can be a barrier, and like you said, more so perhaps for the Chinese than the Australians. Another challenge can be getting them here. You know, they can fly into either of the coasts, and then getting them to South Dakota can be a bit more challenging. They have to fly to Denver, to Minneapolis, and then make their way here. So it makes their travel in getting here a bit longer. But once they're here, you know, one thing that we hear over and over is the hospitality of our people in the industry. And no matter where those travelers are coming from, our industry really does their very best in making them feel welcome, making sure that they're accommodated to the best of their ability. And so, you know, certainly there are some cultural differences between our travelers that we've encouraged our industry just to be aware of. You know, customs in China are much different from customs in America. And so that's one thing that our industry, I think, just should be aware of and maybe think about as they're serving those visitors. But you know, like I said, we're continuing to see those visitors rise, and we'll do everything that we can to make them feel welcome.
Are the international visitors doing the same sort of things that other tourists do when they come to this state?
Sure they are, yeah. You know, one thing that we're seeing specifically is there's such a huge interest in our outdoors, of course, but a huge interest really in our Native American culture. You know, it's something that is completely new and different to a lot of foreign visitors. And so that's one thing that we see over and over, is that those international visitors have a really heightened interest in experiencing our Native American culture, whether it's through visiting a powwow, whether it's through visiting the reservations themselves, or perhaps even just going to a place such as, I'm blanking on the name. There's a beautiful prairie edge in downtown Rapid City that sells some beautiful Native American art and beadwork. So that's definitely an area that we see is increasing in interest among our foreign travelers. And Crazy Horse Memorial would fit right into that as well.
And looking ahead to 2014, new marketing plans. I think you mentioned an expansion to Milwaukee. Other things that might be happening this year?
Sure. You know, we did produce some new television commercials this year that will be starting to run in 2014. Like you said, Milwaukee is a new market for us. We had done some marketing in Milwaukee in years past and haven't been there now for a few years, so it's time for us to go back to that market. Like I said, a lot of our visitors are coming from Wisconsin, and so Milwaukee is an area where we see some potential for growth. In addition to that, we do plan on doing some what we call guerrilla-style marketing, so sort of getting in on the ground and doing some direct work with potential visitors. And by that, I mean our Rushmore mascots. I don't know if you're familiar with our Rushmore mascots, but we've taken them out to various communities that we market in, set them up, and people are so enthralled with them. You know, we find that when we bring our mascots out, people just naturally are drawn to them and want to find out what they're doing and who we are and why we're there. And we do plan on doing some of that this summer as well, likely in Milwaukee and potentially Chicago as well.
So the Rushmore mascots, they're the four presidents.
Yes. Yep.
And they were they're included in the Macy's Day Parade, weren't they, in Thanksgiving?
They weren't in the parade itself, but we did some promotion leading up to the parade in New York City, where we brought the mascots out and did some street team efforts with them.
So, you know, we don't know what the weather is going to be like, but we don't know what other things might happen this year. But it sounds like the governor and the tourism department looking for a healthy tourism year in 2014.
We are. You know, the United States Travel Association puts out some great information in terms of the outlook for any area of travel, including business and leisure, and they're really saying that leisure travelers in the U.S. do plan to take at least one leisure trip this summer, and so their confidence is high. You know, any trends that we've been looking at seem to be very positive. So, like you said, there are things we simply can't plan for, but as long as we have a plan in place and can act nimbly and adapt to whatever those changes might be or those situations that might occur, I think we'll see some great success in 2014.